Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey, Sundberg, how's it going? How good of you to tune in to Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast. I'm your host, Jorgen Sundberg, and this podcast is all about improving your social and digital marketing game. I'm coming to you today from Link Humans Global HQ Towers in a very, very cold London. It's not quite a freezing point, but it's very windy and cold. It's the third week of February 2016, and this week we've got some very big news here in the UK. I love it when the entertainment world and the world of social media, when they meet. One of the country's foremost tweeters has actually given up on tweeting. At the BAFTAs, so that would be the British equivalent of the Oscars, Stephen Fry, who was hosting, called the woman winning the award for best costume design a bag lady. So bag lady, due to her outfit. This invoked a Twitter storm, and Stephen Fry was trying to ward off the flak by, he was taking pictures with her, and he was saying that she got the joke, we're really good friends and everything, and that she was fine with it. However, later in the night, he simply ditched his account. And in his own words, he said, "I don't feel anything today other than massive relief, like a boulder rolling off my chest. I am free, free at last." So apparently he's only deactivated his account. I mean, would you walk away from 12 million followers? Probably not. But I'll put a link in the show notes to this so you can see why and his reasons why he deactivated his account. He has stepped away from Twitter before and then come back a few months later. So we'll see what happens. So that was the big story. And are you ready to give up on Twitter yourself? Need some advice? Need a shoulder to cry on? I'd love to hear from you. Just ping me an email at jorgen@linkhumans.com. So that's Jorgen with a soft J. That's why it's pronounced like a Y. Right, so I'm very excited about today's show. We're patching in Chicago. And I'm going to be joined by Lisa Cervenka and Jason Seiden of Brand Amper. And we're going to be talking about employer stories, employee stories, in fact. But first, every week, I like to share a quick and actionable tip. Guess what? It's time for my very quick and actionable tip of the week. Right, so you love chess. You hang out on Messenger all day. Messenger.com, in fact, to avoid the noise of Facebook. You want some slow, turn-based action throughout your day, not to be too annoying, but you still want a little challenge. So what should you be doing? Well, the solution is, of course, that you can now play chess with a friend inside Messenger. Pretty cool, huh? So apparently this is what Warren Buffett and Bill Gates do when they hang out online. Possibly not inside Messenger, but definitely I know they play chess online. And I would predict that this is only the beginning for gaming inside Messenger, which of course has no less than 800 million users, which we noted the other week. So if you want to play chess inside Messenger, have a look at the link I put in the show notes. And if you want to challenge someone who's not very good, intermediate, I would say, that would be myself, then just hit me up and I will happily play a game with you and we'll see how it goes. Right, so with that, it's time to transition to this week's interview, all about employee stories. Now, you may notice that my interviewees, they call me Jorgen throughout this interview, and it was too late for me to say anything. Of course, it's pronounced Jorgen. Instead, I thought I'd ask you to do a Jorgen bingo and tweet using the hashtag SMKnowHow how many times you hear it. And don't worry, Lisa and Jason, this happens to me a lot. In fact, when I order a coffee at Starbucks, whenever I get the cup, it normally says Jorgen on it. So you're not alone, don't worry about it. And anyway, let's roll the interview. Lisa Cervenka and Jason Seiden, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
We're good.
Fantastic, thank you. So tell us about Brand Amper and your roles there.
Sure, I'd love to. Brand Amper is a branding platform, and Jason and I developed it to really help companies engage employees in telling stories and shaping the brand based on what is true to employees today. So it's really an employee-centric approach like no other solution or tool that we've heard of or found. And we make sure that employees kind of really know what's in it for them.
So that's what Brand Amper is. In terms of ourselves, officially Lisa's the chief branding officer and I'm the CEO. But with any company, when there's only two of you, it's less about roles. It's more about priorities. So we're both fully responsible for our success, and we have different strengths. We have different strengths. And I think at this stage, Lisa, I don't know about you, but I'd be hard pressed to even tear some of them apart at some times. So like for instance, you know, when it comes to go to market, we'll both look at competitors and we'll both look at client needs. We just tend to look at different things.
Yeah, I would say the only real differentiator maybe is when we are analyzing our data, I tend to look, at all the various pieces, or you do actually look at all the different pieces of data to try to figure out the best way to present it to clients to solve their problems. And I tend to more read every story and look for branding trends.
Yeah, kind of like a micro macro.
Exactly.
Great. And you seem to be making up a good team. You're finishing each other's sentences. That's good.
Some practice.
Right. Yeah. And how long have you been going?
So Brand Amper is a little over a year, actually coming up in a year and a half. Mm-hmm. But our history started a few years before that. We actually had a consulting practice where we saw the need for Brand Amper, and after playing around with some technology embedded in the consulting business, we eventually broke it off and went all in on this.
Great. Okay, so that leads me on to the next question. Why do companies need employee-generated content?
Yeah, so simply put, it's because that's where candidates and prospects go to look to discover what's real. We've been trained to go beyond the company's party line. Corporate websites are great, but sites like Glassdoor are becoming the go-to for prospective employees.
And yeah, Jorgen, are you familiar with Glassdoor?
Oh, very much so, yes.
Okay.
Sure. And then, I mean, Lisa, I know you, you often talk about Edelman's trust survey. So, you know, it's a nice anecdote, but one of the things that Lisa will often go back to is the hard numbers that are actually starting to come up around just how real this move to employee-generated content is. So, what makes somebody buy, or in this case, buy into an idea, it's determined far more now based on what people in your network say than what experts say. And, right, you know, people are 90% more likely to trust their network than a brand. The gap between trusting an employee like me versus a CEO is significant. That trend is here to stay, and we're watching the numbers grow, you know, year over year.
Yeah. And what's the power of bold transparency?
So... so bold transparency is, this is a term that Lisa came up with, which I just think is killer, you know, and it goes back to this idea that you're letting your employees state what's true, on your behalf. You're creating alignment between the employee and the company. And so instead of having to sell something, you're simply replacing your walls with windows and letting people see what actually exists. And the power there is, not only is it a far more efficient way to be because you're not constantly selling, but the feedback loop is immediate because people can react to what they see to be true instantaneously. You don't have to wait for focus groups to come back a year later and tell you what, right? And it's also genuine. So the costs of managing it are far lower than trying to manage an image that may or may not be genuine.
Well, and I think we call it bold transparency, Jorgen, because I think a lot of companies claim to provide transparency. You know, they want candidates to see what life is really like, get a look at their culture. However, they want it done in a very specific, compliant way. And so the idea of the bold is really, you know, we need to make a little bit of an improvement on what we're calling transparent.
Got it. Right. So I just realized that I'm very familiar with Glassdoor, but our listeners may not. So who wants to give the 30-second summary of Glassdoor and similar sites?
Sure. So Glassdoor is essentially like a review site where employees can go and leave an anonymous review on a company. What's it like to interview? What are the salaries? What's the CEO like? And they can give ratings. And it's gotten a lot of traction here in the United States. I know we were just talking with them last week. They're growing globally. And this idea of candidates going to a third party where there's anonymous employee content on there versus going to the company's website is a hugely growing trend. And a lot of companies in the US really didn't want to deal with this trend very much and are realizing that it's here to stay. So a lot more people are engaging on Glassdoor.
Yeah, I actually interviewed L'Oreal the other week, and they are very big into Glassdoor and the whole transparency and the feedback loop that they get from their employees. So yeah, really interesting stuff. And I guess, could you say there's a TripAdvisor for jobs?
Yes,
and for employees?
Exactly. Absolutely. Thank you. That's exactly the site I was thinking of.
Right. Yeah. TripAdvisor, Yelp, a lot of the consumer marketing side really grasped this idea a long time ago. And now on the employee side, it's really coming to light there as well.
Great. And if we look at the downsides, what are the risks of not having employee-generated stories?
Sure. Well, we've got some. We definitely think it's risky behavior. I'll go so far as to say I think it can be devastating.
Devastating. That's a big word.
It's huge.
All right, I'll back you on that.
Serious. But on a couple of fronts, you know, first of all, you might be marketing a brand to prospects that really does not exist or resonate with current employees because they can't relate to it. So it's more aspirational. So unless you're gathering their stories to validate whether or not what you think is true, that could be a big problem. And there's nothing worse than advertising a place to work
and then
falsely.
Having your employees roll their eyes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And not have it meet expectations for new employees. And then also, what if your competitions are offering these transparent, compelling looks into the company culture and all the other things like hard benefits are basically equal, you might be missing out on a really big differentiator. You know, recently I've read a lot of articles about how people would rather get paid less and work for a company with a really good reputation that they could be proud of. So more and more, it's becoming an absolute differentiator.
Right. Okay. And I guess you guys are offering a solution, but what are some of the challenges with the current methods of creating and sharing these type of stories?
Yeah, you know, I'll take that one. And Jorgen, you know, the reality is most of the current tools and solutions have everything backward. Right. And this is what we saw long before we ever developed our tool. This was something that frustrated us for years. A lot of the solutions out there require company leadership to assume three things. One, that they know who their advocates are, who their employee advocates are. Two, that the employee at large will care enough about the company to engage, right? Meaning that leadership does not think that they need to show employees what's in it for them. And then three, that leadership can predict which content channels are most important. And none of those three assumptions are true. And because of that, right, your premise is only going to be as good as the assumptions it's built on. So when they go in and they put in a solution or they develop a process built on thinking they know who their advocates are, thinking that people are going to jump up and partake, and thinking that they can predict, you know, where they should be sharing content, it means they end up with all kinds of problems, all kinds of mismatched incentives, and you know, they all kind of snowball from there.
Got it. And so if we look at best practice, what's a step-by-step guide for working with employees to create and share that original and branded content?
There's the cliche answer of it depends, right? And yeah. The reality is every company is a little different, but what we'll tell you is people are the same. So there are some commonalities that absolutely should exist across every program anywhere. As long as there's a human being in the program, there are some similarities, that should percolate up. So, you know, the key to BrandAmper success is, you know, we give the employee the company brand and we say, here, use this to make yourself look better. And then ask directly if the employee wants to share content. So you asked about the challenges a minute ago, right? The step-by-step guide is to find a way to flip that script to make sure that the employee interests and the company interests are aligned. And once you do that, you massively increase opportunities for engagement, and simultaneously, you massively reduce the need for compliance checks.
Yeah, and I think speaking of compliance, one thing before people go about the tactical steps or even strategies to doing this. Philosophically, I think they need to let go, companies need to let go of this notion of on brand when it comes to employer branding. You know, that's something we hear all the time with consumer branding, and now we're dealing with people. So I think we'd argue you need consistency for sure, but not compliance. People need room to be able to customize and expand on ideas about the brand.
Great. And Jason, you just touched on this, but what are some of the benefits to the employees? Well, and to their own personal brands.
Yeah. No, Elise, you want to take that?
Sure. I think there's a lot of benefits. And really, it gives them, at a very high level, permission to do so, to take the time to do so. And in this case, you know, or in our case, it's a tool, you know, to help them focus on it and step them through it. Because on a daily basis, rarely do people think carefully about what it is they put out there for others, let alone remember to update it.
Right.
So it kind of gives them a roadmap for engaging in content sharing and all kinds of social activities that might be intimidating. And it also lets them realize, okay, here's my brand. Maybe there's some relevant company info, which is part of that brand. And now I need to share content or do things on social that reinforce that. So it's a purposeful, disciplined approach to personal branding.
Yeah, you know, I would take it one step further. I think if the company is doing it right, in addition to the benefits to the employee, I think if the company is doing it right, they're also using it as an opportunity to reacclimate employees to the brand. Right. So the research that we've done shows understanding, well, not just that we've done, like this actually goes back, this is organizational theory, but the more an individual understands what the company they work for is all about and how success gets measured, the more invested in their work they are. So it's not just about giving them the permission and tool to develop an employer brand to get to the benefits that Lisa said. There's also a benefit that flows back to the company, which is when people can make that connection, they're more invested in what they're doing.
Great. Okay. And you talk about doing updates and sharing and so on. What social and digital channels are most important and why? And I understand, of course, it varies from different organizations, but your typical clients.
Sure. Well, first of all, I have to give the caveat, you know, that it's kind of different for every company. It's sort of like that marketing 101, you know, where are your prospects looking to engage and where are your employees actually willing to? So you kind of have to start with that. And I think companies kind of make huge mistakes in launching five channels at once. You know, inevitably one of them gets cobwebs pretty quickly and employees get totally overwhelmed. Like, where am I supposed to be interacting?
Yeah. I mean, way back in the day before, prior to branding, we fell into the trap ourselves. I mean, you know, when social was exploding, it's real easy to go chase that shiny object. And you really do need to be, you need to start with that end in mind. And the reality is that the field of tools is constantly changing. And right, that's one of the reasons why we focus on stories. Right? Stories are foundational content. They can be turned into content for pretty much any channel. All right. And so that's kind of like the marketing answer. To give you a direct answer, we mentioned Glassdoor before. We're actually seeing Glassdoor in particular become increasingly important. It is the leader in employee-generated content. Interestingly, if you had asked the question 2 years ago, we would have said it would have been LinkedIn. Now Glassdoor is coming up in 2 years. We're not sure what it'll be 2 years from now. So, you know, our recommendation is, you know, focus on the foundational stuff, keep the end in mind, and then, you know, be responsive to which channels the people you care most about are using.
Yeah, great. Good answer. Thank you. Now, what's the return on investment on this and how do you measure it? What are the metrics?
So you know, you started off by asking what our roles are, and we mentioned, you know, we kind of look at the same things. We just look at them in different eyes. This is one of those questions Lisa and I have been asked countless times. So I kind of can read your mind. I know what you're going to talk about. So I'll start this off, and I'll say, you know, from a company level, you know, if you're going to start any new process, it's got to do something you're already doing more efficiently and or more effectively. So when we look at you know, our process for gathering stories and putting them into action for employer branding content, we've actually figured out that you can cut an agency cost by 90%.
And so, careful, we're talking to someone from an agency.
Oh, right? Dear.
Yeah,
just
but we're,
kidding.
But we're talking to somebody who actually gets it right,
no,
right? I don't think we would cut Jorgen's cost down by 90%.
Probably
not. You know, you kind of think about the way that most companies do it, and when you factor in how long the management reviews take, and then the focus groups, and then coming up with the pillars and the EVPs and the research and the, you know, it's not uncommon for a big company to hide behind that process. So, you know, it's not, you know, I'm not saying that agencies are bad. We actually have agencies as partners. The reality is that you get people inside of companies that will hide behind that process. So when you look at what it is in total, if you're doing this right, you can actually take a lot of that legwork and crunch it down, disperse it amongst the employees. So you can drop the cost significantly. You can actually probably get this done at 1/3 the cost and in 10% of the time. That's kind of the macro view. But Lise, I know you focus on.
Well, yeah, I think we're constantly, because we did, in a way, have the luxury of building a tool that collects data. We had lots of opportunities and feedback from incredible friends in the industry and thought leaders and clients to tell us, okay, you know what? If we're going to do this, we need to know certain things. And so we've built measurements into our tool, and things that we report on are things like, you know, how many people started the tool versus completed it versus did not even start. And we do that because it tells us a lot about the effectiveness of their internal communications, how they engage with their employees, and do people pay attention when they offer something. Also, who exactly has decided to be a brand leader? We provide a list to clients. And the ROI on this is really measurable, because it can be used to seed a lot of the expensive pilots they engage in. So who should be selected for an expensive content sharing tool pilot, things like that. So they can kind of, you know, save time and not waste money. We also let them know things like who has chosen what brand messages. So they know what, again, not to, you know, be chasing time and money wise. Not to mention kind of the value in and of itself of capturing hundreds of pieces of this employee generated content.
Yeah. So, and right, you kind of put these two things together, you can start seeing where those overall cost savings take place, right? If a company is going to take 6 months just to figure out who its advocates are and guess wrong, and then have to relaunch a program, right? And take 6 more months, and we can make sure they get it right the first time. That's one of those cost savings that actually is a win for everybody in the chain.
Great. Okay. If we look at the actual technology, the tech side of things, what are some of the considerations for a company looking to embark on a program like this?
You know, we've got a particular viewpoint on this, and I think it's a little distinct and maybe a little heretical in the space, but we recommend that anytime a company brings in a tech vendor, that they make sure that vendor can help you, the client, implement it and drive engagement at the employee level. We not only hear that need from companies, but interestingly, we've talked with prospective investors, people who actually invest in HR technology, and we had one person point blank challenge our focus on implementation and activation. They were like, you have to move away from providing that as a service for your clients, and we're like, you're crazy, right? Any technology platform worth its salt is going to make sure that its clients get the help they need implementing its tools. And you pretty much look at any successful software platform out there, and you're going to find an implementation ecosystem that supports it. So I think it's a critical need. And in today's world of SaaS implementations, and I swipe my credit card and buy a certain number of seats, you got to make sure you're still getting the help that you're going to need in implementing it, making sure that people actually use the software.
Yeah, good thoughts there. Great. And because this is this podcast called the Social Media Know-How, I'm going to ask you now of three brands that inspire you on social media.
So, Lisa, I'm going to put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. So, our chief branding officer and my co-founder is a self-proclaimed brand nerd who I am constantly amazed at how much research and how in-depth your knowledge is of who's in the space. So I'm going to stay way the heck away from this answer.
Well, it's my favorite thing to talk about by far. And I am a bit of a fangirl when it comes to some of this stuff. But I would say I would say Salesforce, definitely. Their whole dream job campaign, especially on Instagram, is amazing and bold. I love what Cisco is doing, how they kind of revamped everything, and they have the We Are Cisco on Twitter and other places, and really turning the focus from, you know, careers at Cisco to who are the people, and kind of giving the brand back to their employees. And the tech, and I'll say too, Jorgen, I feel like the tech companies, because their recruitment needs are so acute and it's so competitive, they tend to do the employer branding stuff on social and digital better than other industries. But I will say, in terms of like a hospitality or, you know, consumer brand, I love what Airbnb does. I think we talked a lot about Glassdoor, and I was actually on Glassdoor looking at their stuff last night, and they do a great job of segmenting their prospective employee audience. So saying, if you're an engineer, click here and read about this, etc. And there's also a report that your listeners might be interested in. We've done some work with Wilson HCG, and they put out a great report. They did it in 2014, and they also did it this year, and it's called 2015's Fortune 500 Top 100 Employment Brands.
How did you remember the name of that?
Because we did a lot of work with them.
That's a mouthful. That just rolled off the tongue.
Yeah, it is.
I'm impressed.
But it's really worth checking out. You can download it for free. So, and they've got all kinds of criteria they use that might be interesting for people to see.
Great. Okay. We'll put a link into the show notes so people can download that. And where do you think this space is heading? If we look into the Brand Amper crystal ball, what's going to happen in the next 2 to 3 years?
Story, silly. We're going to explode. We're going to be huge. We're going to see, I think we're already starting to see more collaboration. Interestingly, we've talked about Glassdoor. Let's leave them at the on the list, on the short list of things that are going to be important. But I think that that peer-to-peer networking also opens up ideas. We're seeing something called open source HR, which just was launched this year by a couple of practitioners in the employment branding space, in the talent acquisition space, and it's gaining traction. So I definitely think we're going to see more people looking to people, both at the employee level and then also, you know, amongst the practitioners, you know, and our belief is making sure that as an individual, you can actually let people know who you are is going to be a critical part of that. Because if we're looking to one another for support, it means we need to know how and when to opt into one another.
Yeah. And I think another thing, Jorgen, that's going to be huge this year is tools that kind of put the candidate in charge of the, you know, the interviewing process and the experience with the company. We have a friend, Ray, who founded a company called Great Hires. They were featured at this year's HR Tech, the awesome new startup, as we once were. And it's a mobile app that facilitates a lot of transparency and control for candidates. So they get to download it. They see who's going to be interviewing them. They can upload presentations of theirs or samples of their work. It's all kinds of stuff to say, all right, let's just make this, you know, as straightforward as possible and let the candidate feel like they're in charge. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that too.
So power to the applicants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Power to the applicants.
Yeah. Okay, great. So final question. Where can we learn more about yourselves, your work, and also Brand Amper?
Brandamper.com, at Brandamper on Twitter. You know, and of course, like most companies our size, I have to give the caveat that the website is not the most updated. We are cobblers. Our kids have no shoes. So go to Twitter first. You know, I am...
Jason is the web guy.
Right?
That's all I need to say.
Exactly, right? You have the CEO updating the website. So yeah, check us out on Twitter, at Brandamper.
Great. And Lisa, where can we find you? And yeah, you saw Jason. You're both on Twitter and LinkedIn.
Yeah, he's at Sidon. And I'm at Brand Nerd.
Great. All right. Thank you very much for your time, both. Great. All right. So I hope Brand Amper's advice was useful for you. What stories are you and your employees telling at your organization? Do you think that could be better? In that case, get in touch with Lisa and Jason now. Also, how many Jorgens did you tally up? Let us know on the SM Know How hashtag, and there'll be a very special prize for for a very special winner, a very attentive listener, in fact. Right, so finally, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and please leave a review on there so that others can discover the joy of listening to this podcast. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SMKnowHow.
Stay true. That's become our mantra.
Yeah, if you really believe in something, don't waver, persevere, and eventually you'll win. And one of us even has a tattoo just in case.
Just in case.